you be so kind as to open your love letters, and I hope they don't have dust on them, because God loves you. And through it all, God's writing to you and God's telling you daily, Dennis, this is what you need to eat on. Dennis, this is what you need to feed on. Dennis, this is your power for why you're on earth. So if you'll be so kind as to open your love letters with me as I open my love letter to Leviticus 17, and then Ephesians 1:7, and as you find those places, if you'll stand in reverence to the inerrant, infallible, powerful, live Word of God, we'll share these words in reverence to His Word. Leviticus 17:11 and Ephesians 1:7. And we find these words. We're in Old Testament and New Testament, but hopefully by the power of God, it's all going to wrap up and wrap around your heart and change you and encourage you. And hopefully for some of you who do not know what we're talking about, you'll be born again this morning. In Leviticus 17:11, we find these words. From the life of the flesh, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have taken it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for whose souls? For your souls. And for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And then if you'll be so kind as to go over to Ephesians 1:7. In Ephesians 1:7 we find these words. In whom we have redemption through His blood. In whom I have redemption. In whom you have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time. I pray that not my southern dialect or anything about me or my reputation through the community has any bearing this morning on what You, a holy God, has to say to Your people. I pray, Heavenly Father, that I would die to self and speak and preach as a dying man to dying people who need the truth. Heavenly Father, the truth is in Your Word. And so we stand this morning praying that You will move in such a mighty, powerful way that there will be no question when they leave today whether they are saved or lost. That there will be no question what they need to do, Heavenly Father, that they hold the key to their soul's eternity. You have given us the key. You have explained it from Genesis to Revelation. And so may we not leave ignorant. May You remove anything that would hinder Your Spirit from moving in our midst today. And may a holy God, a live God, we're not serving a dead God or a dead religion. We're serving a powerful, holy, the God, the great I Am. So may You move in such a way, Heavenly Father, that we know we have been in the presence of You today. We pray this in the Your Son, our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to share with you right off the start. That if any of you observed the front row and I was not singing this morning, it's because my teenage boys are here. And knowing them, they found the switch to turn this on. And they'd say, see, I told you you couldn't sing, Daddy. So I wanted to set that straight. But I do believe and I thank Dr. Terry and the choir and the music for preparing our hearts and our souls as we come to worship today. In Leviticus 17:11, the title, if you need a title, the title of this sermon, the title of this lesson is, what is your DNA? What is your DNA? What is your DNA? We really, and some of you are sitting there, boy, this is complex, and it is complex. But you have the choice on the final DNA, on the final analysis of your blood type. You, and only you, have the choice. You see in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The word blood, just the word blood, is used approximately 460 times in the Bible. 362 of them are in the Old Testament. However, in Leviticus 17, you find the word blood 13 times. You also find in this chapter the key text in biblical theology on the significance of the blood and salvation. The key text to your salvation and my salvation is involved in the word blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is the blood. Long before medical science and today's technology discovered the significance of the blood in the human body and its importance for life, Scripture told us that blood was the life. And when a sacrifice was offered and its blood was shed, it meant the giving of a life for the life of another. And the innocent victim died in place of the guilty sinner. So throughout Scripture, therefore, it is the blood that makes the atonement. Any theology or theory or anything that minimizes or takes from the blood is false theology. It is the blood. It is the sacrifice. It is the fact, as we go from Leviticus to the New Testament, it is the fact that Dennis is guilty. Dennis has sin. Dennis has wrath in his life that Dennis can't control. And so the blood had to be shed. The innocent sacrifice had to be shed. And the blood had to be bared so that Dennis would be forgiven. Can you put your name there? So in today's technologically, we think we've got it all together, don't we? Come on. Let's just cut it to the bone. Today we can freeze embryos. Today's we tie up money in court because it was his child, her child, their child, its child, and the judges have to decide. And so then we can go Walmart, Kmart shopping to decide if the child's going to be blonde with blue eyes or dark skin or brown skin or male or female. Haven't we got ourselves in a mess? Let's just let God be God. And so today, in today's sophisticated technological world, we think we've arrived. But I warn you, though, anything we attempt to do or analyze outside of the Word of God and God's will is futile. We're just playing games with ourselves. So I firmly believe we have officially entered into end time waters as prophesied in the Bible. I believe we're there today. And I trust that some of you who don't believe it, and you're concerned about the destiny of your soul, will not leave today without nailing it down, without asking Christ into your heart and life to save you. But we Christians must wake up. We can either choose to continue to remain passive with our heads stuck in the sand, hoping that neither we nor any of our loved ones will ever come under any kind of direct human or demonic attack, or we can choose to learn how to rise up in the power of Jesus Christ, how to clean ourselves up, how to ask Jesus Christ into our heart and life so that the power of the Holy Spirit is in us and dwells in us so that we produce the fruits of the Spirit so that we are not deceived, so that we live the lives and therefore we don't have to go. We should have the church full because each one of us live those lives that people want to know what we have. What's the secret? You see, what really bothers me today is that the Al-Qaeda and the true enemy are willing to die for a false religion. Sad, isn't it? And we Christians cannot stand in front of our neighbor's house and tell them what we believe in. We've got it backwards. Y'all, it all boils down to one thing. We're one people with one need and one God who created us. And He's saying, Dennis, I want fellowship with you. So as we get to that point, let me share with you. We need to wake up and we need to learn how to spiritually defend ourselves. And I like, do you know whom you believe? And I challenge myself with this sermon this week. Dennis, do you know whom you believe? Dennis, can you stand up? Dennis, do you know that you know Jesus Christ? And I like what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I believe and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What has he committed? He's committed his soul against that day. What about you? If you were to die today on your way home, if you were to die, do you know where the destination of your soul would go? Only you can determine that. Only you can determine your eternal DNA. Are you willing not only to die, but more importantly, to stand for your faith? First, we must keep it simple. And first, I must ask you this very basic, simple question. Do you know that you have been born again? See, we have all been born of the water. We're all here. We didn't have our first choice of DNA. Some people say, I don't look like any of my brothers. I say, thank God, because they, you know, some people say that I have no resemblance of my parents, and some people think that I look like my mother, and some people say that they don't like to be around me because I look like my sister who's in heaven. And so you get all this stuff with genetics. But I didn't have a choice, and neither did you. But we also find that Jesus tells Nicodemus, as we were studying today, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you have to make a decision. Nicodemus, you are religious. Nicodemus, you had all the keys, but you must make a decision. Today, ladies and gentlemen, you must make a decision. Are you born again? You didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice about being redhead and freckles when I was growing up. But I have a choice about my eternal destination, my eternal DNA, because I can apply the blood of Christ to my life. And that's where we're going today. So, blood, the essence of life, the parental heritage, the family line, the lineage. You didn't have any say, as I shared, but you have a say about your eternal blood. So blood is the key to life, temporal here on earth and eternal. Have you applied the blood of the Lamb to your life? And without blood, there is no life. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, according to God's Word. That's in Hebrews 9:22. So we find in Leviticus 17:11 two especially important essential truths that are pertinent here. The value of the life is a measure of the value of the blood. Did you catch on? The value of the life is a measure of the value of the blood. This gives the blood of Christ its inconceivable worth. When it was shed, the sinless God-man gave his life for Dennis, for Dennis's sin, gave his life for you and your sin, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. We also find that in Hebrews 10:4. The second essential element in Leviticus 17:11, it is not the blood in the veins of the sacrifice, but the blood upon the altar which is efficacious, meaning to bring to pass, to accomplish, having the intended results. Dennis, in the Old Testament, Dennis would have to bring a lamb or a goat, unblemished, watch for 4 days to make sure there was nothing wrong with Dennis's sacrifice. And Dennis's sacrifice would have to be slain. And the blood was poured. And the fact that Dennis was the sinner, the innocent life, the perfect sacrifice was offered was significant, but the blood was what it was all about, because when you talked of the blood, you talked of the death. Do you understand? Do you understand what we're trying to say? And we're going to get there in just a minute. Christ is your Passover. Christ is the blood. The blood in the Old Testament symbolized that some life was sacrificed for this vase, this vase of blood. Christ sacrificed His life, His all, for you and I. And then I'm guilty. Then you and I think we can play games with God. Then you and I think that we can flirt with God. No, you can't do that. Do you understand this is reality 101 and you don't get to come back and take this course over? At the end of this, you have the final say. At the end of this, you can pass this test or you can fail this test. And this test is, what have you done with the blood of the great I Am? What have you done with the blood of the Savior? What have you done with the blood of Jesus Christ? What have you done? I cannot answer for anyone but Dennis. But what have you done? The blood is the key. Two truths. Is the value of the life is the measure of the value of the blood. And it is not the blood in the veins of the sacrifice, but the blood that was shed, which represents that the life was taken. Is your life yielded? As we say, the Scripture knows nothing of salvation by the imitation or influence of Christ's life, but only by that life yielded on the cross. Did you understand what I just said? The Scripture says nothing about salvation by Dennis imitating Christ. And y'all, we have too many pretenders in the world today walking under the banner of Christianity. It's not the imitation of Christ, but it's the blood of Christ that was shed. The Scriptures and salvation is nothing about imitation, nothing about acting, nothing about pretending, but it's about the faith, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute. It's about the faith of the one who was sacrificed, and that's Jesus Christ. And His faith was that the Father would take your sins and my sins if we would accept Jesus Christ. So the meaning of sacrifice for sin is explained here. Every such offering was an execution of the sentence of the law upon a substitute for the offender, and pointed forward to the substitutionary death of Christ, which alone vindicated the righteousness of God in passing over the sins of those. And I like this, passing over the sins. Listen, this is exciting. Look over in Exodus 12. In Exodus 12, we are first introduced to the sacrificial Passover lamb, a lamb without blemish. This is in Exodus 12, around verses 5 and 7. Your lamb shall be without blemish, verse 5, a male of the first year. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the houses. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The key is the blood. It has the blood of the Lamb been applied to your life. This is the picture. This is the door to your house in the Passover. Christ is your Passover and my Passover. This is the door. And I want to protect my family. And we've offered the sacrifice and we've shed the blood. And I want to protect Jan and Shelby and Kobe and Grammy. And I put the door and I stay and I close that door. And when the angel of death and the plague comes over, Dennis and Dennis's household in the Old Testament was protected because he passed over. Christ is your Passover. Don't you get it? Christ is your Passover. The blood has been shed. The vase is here. The hyssop branch is there. Dennis, all you have to do is apply the blood to the heart of the door of your heart to accept Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Do you get the power of the blood? See, the Passover is a type of Christ, our Redeemer. We find that also in John 1:29. I've got to stop. I've got to go there because this is God's Word. You see, the Passover is a type of Christ, our Redeemer. So if you'll be so kind as to go to John 1:29, or I'll read it for you because I get excited and kind of carried away. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. This is John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And then we find in 1 Corinthians 5:7, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Even Christ, and make it personal, this is a personal love letter. Even Christ, your Passover, is sacrificed for you. What are you going to do with the sacrifice? It's been paid. The blood has been shed. The vase is full. The hyssop branch is there. Sir and ma'am, are you going to apply that blood to the door of your heart? You see, because I'm one, and I'm routine, and my staff knows when I get there in the morning, the coffee has to be on the right side. Now I'm just teasing. Anyway. Well, don't call Diane tomorrow. You'll find out I'm not teasing there. Anyway, I'm in route. I have to have things to do to stay organized, to stay on course. To, it's not a rut for me. It's a way that I get everything done, and I know that things are taken care of. It's just the way I am. And for you and I, salvation is not, Dennis, you've got to, and excuse me, I'm not picking anyone, but Dennis, you don't have to say 20 rosaries 20 times a day. But Dennis sometimes would rather say 20 rosaries 20 times a day because it's something I can do. Okay? But Dennis, for salvation, has to accept Jesus Christ. Dennis has by faith to say, Lord, I am a sinner and there's nothing I can do. And I have got to accept the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, into my heart and life. I ask you, have you ever done that? And if you question, then I say, you need to get right with the Lord. So we've got too many pretenders out there. The blood applied of itself without anything in addition constituted a perfect protection for judgment. And the believer in Christ is saved by the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then in Leviticus 17:11, we also find, For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. How does blood make atonement for sin, you may ask? When offered in the right attitude, listen, when offered in the right attitude, the sacrifice and the blood shed from it make forgiveness of sin possible. Did you hear me? With the right attitude. On the one hand, blood represented the sinner's life infected, represented my life infected by sin, and I was headed for death. On the other hand, the blood represented the innocent life of that animal or the ultimate sacrifice in place of the guilty person making the offering. The death of the animal fulfilled the penalty of sin. God, therefore, granted forgiveness to sinners. It is God who forgives based on the faith of the person doing the sacrifice. It's God who forgives. Christ sacrificed His life for you, and what have you done with Him? And the blood does not lie. Now all this, and you say, well, what does this have to do with DNA? I just don't get it. Where are you going with this? Well, let me share with you. We have come a long ways, and I may be dating myself, but I've had to testify in court on a number of times, years past, where I was subpoenaed and I had to bring out the title and the registration forms and prepare them and hand them over to the state attorney, verifying that this was whoever's tag and title and that I personally witnessed that this person was in and got that tag and title. It was a vehicular homicide. Do you verify? And so with that and with other mechanisms, they would determine that this individual had died in that car accident because it caught on fire. But now we have, this has been since I've been in office, now we have what they call DNA. They can take tissue, hair, fingernail, blood. So I was involved in a case just recently, and I knew the individuals involved. And so my HR person said, there's a phone call, and you've got to take it, and they're waiting, and it's Dr. So-and-so. Oh, my goodness, what's going on? So I picked up the phone. Hello. Well, I wanted you to know that so-and-so in your office was tested and blah, blah, blah. Okay, thank you. And I hung up and I thought, well, and I called my assistant, we got to change labs. You know, I don't believe them. This can't be happening. So then my attorney got on the phone, and my attorney started with DNA terms, and that's what struck my interest. DNA terms such as contaminated, it was not a contaminated scene, and nothing was compromised, nothing was diluted, the vials were properly marked, the lab has cross-reference. There is no way, but this is a fact, Dennis, you've got to accept it. So my interest in DNA started growing. I thought, this just can't be. Well, guess what? Knowing me, I got a phone call the following day from the same doctor. And the doctor said, Mr. Hollingsworth, I hate to say this, but you've got two. I said, I think I'm going to fire you. I just didn't believe him. But I was convinced that the blood does not lie. And that I had to deal with the situation, and I've dealt with the situation. But through all of this, I started thinking, the blood doesn't lie. And with my attorney talking to me, I said, there's so much spiritual truth involved, y'all. The blood does not lie. So then I started looking, and guess what? Guess what? I was doing some reading because I was interested in this case I was dealing with involving two of the employees in the office. And I was listening and haphazardly listening to TV, and I heard 42nd President Bill Clinton say that we're all 99.9% the same. Whew, I stood up. I said, what? I can't believe that. So I went in the next morning and I ordered a transcript of what President Clinton said. And guess what? Our DNA, your DNA and my DNA, your DNA and my DNA, we're 99.9% the same. Yeah, wow. Although they say genomes, according to your blood, you can have 3 million genomes different, and we look different. But the bottom line, the basic ingredient for DNA, we're 99.9% the same. Amazing. And then I heard Bill Clinton say that, and I said, oh, I wish he'd know the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that we can have the same DNA 100% for all eternity. Isn't that the truth? But that's what got me going on this. So now let me ask you. We're therefore 99.9% DNA. It all goes back, spiritually speaking, to one creator, one bloodline, one need. And if you don't believe it, read it. Because this book does not lie. The Bible stresses the importance of the blood through the bloodline of the begets. And I like this because from Genesis to Revelation, there is a scarlet thread that ties all of us together. And that scarlet thread is known as the blood of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, He was forewarning. In the New Testament, it was shed. And now the decision is up to yours, up to you, sir and ma'am. What are you going to do with the blood of Jesus Christ? That is the bottom line. So from Genesis to Revelation, the blood does not lie. The Bible stresses the importance of the blood. And I like this. The blood lineage is an important factor, just as it was for Jesus to be traced back to the lineage of King David. There is much importance placed on the blood all through the Bible, as I've been saying. And then in Acts 17, verse 26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bound of their habitation." Also in Acts 17, verse 28, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poet said, for we are also of His offspring." And I could just bore you to death with the GMs and all that I've studied and learned about DNA. And this is the bottom line. This is the best example I had. If we took a novel, Brother Danny, and the novel was this big, basically all of us are the same. The novel reads basically the same. The novels can be thousands of pages thick, but the difference is that the difference between our lives is that the one page, page 306, may have left out a comma in Brother Danny's and not a comma in mine. That's basically the difference. One may have spelled for you, sir. One may have spelled the English language of color, C-O-L-O-R, and it may have been C-O-L-O-U-R. Isn't that amazing? So therefore, I emphasize again that we are basically the same. We have one need, and that's a relationship with our Creator through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amazing. But that novel was the best summary I could think of to dilute and to measure down, boil all of this DNA garbage down. One Creator, one bloodline, one need. So through DNA, man can determine who you are, your lineage, but more importantly, have you applied the blood of the Lamb? And by this term, I mean, have you been born again? You must be born again, according to Jesus talking to Nicodemus, a rabbi, in John 3, verses 2 and 3. Then in John 3, 6, we are told, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So you and I have already determined we've been born of the water, and Dennis didn't have any choice on his first DNA. But sir and ma'am, have you been born of the Spirit? And if you have, then you can determine your DNA. Your DNA is that royal blood. Your DNA is that blood that Jesus Christ gave. Your DNA says, "Dennis, now that you've accepted me, you don't have to live that defeated life, Dennis. You live victorious lives. Now, Dennis, your bloodline is not the old Dennis where you held grudges. Not the old Dennis where all these evil things of the devil, as we find in Romans, none of this is yours now, but you have to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's where you stand now, Dennis. And you can't pretend. If you and I have royal blood in us, we can no longer pretend. So if you're living a lie, if you're a pretender, then you are pretending, and then you are acting on Sundays, "I got royal blood in me, man. My dad's a king." And on Mondays, "Let me tell him what I really think." Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I do. And sometimes I do tell him what I think. And sometimes I have to eat crow. And sometimes when you're getting ready for a sermon, and I thought, "Whew, I wasn't nice to that person," I call him back. "Hey, I'm sorry." "What are you? I know you're sorry, but what are you sorry for? I thought I kind of cut you off. I was kind of short." They say, "Well, what's new?" No. We do. We have to be serious about our walk with Jesus Christ. Then we find in Ephesians 1, 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." And to speak of Jesus' blood was an important, as I've already shared with you, to speak of Jesus' blood was an important first century way of speaking of Christ's death. His death points to two wonderful truths, redemption and forgiveness. You see, redemption was the price paid to gain freedom for a slave. We find that in Leviticus 25, verses 47 through 54. Through His death, Jesus paid the price to release us from slavery to sin. And then forgiveness was granted in the Old Testament times on the basis of the shedding of animals' blood. Now we are forgiven on the basis of the shedding of Jesus' blood. He died as a perfect and final sacrifice. But keep in mind the setting of our scripture readings in Leviticus. Keep this in mind. To redeem means to purchase, to set free by paying a price. And every day I deal with people, I need to redeem my taxes because you're going to take my home and I don't want your home and I want you to redeem the taxes and I'll work with them anyway to keep that from happening. But to redeem your soul and to redeem slaves at the setting that they were talking about, listen to this. There were as many as 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. 60 million. And often they were bought and sold like pieces of furniture. So these are lives that were just bought and sold. I want this one today and that one. I'm going to trade you tomorrow. And it was 60 million slaves. So when the Bible talks of redemption, when the Bible talks of setting Dennis free from the slavery of bondage of sin, the Bible's talking and the people at the time comprehended it a lot more than you and I because we don't know what it's like living in a society with 60 million slaves that were bought and sold daily. So now you get the picture. You get a better handle on the picture. This means for you and I in the blood of Christ, this means we're free from the law, free from the slavery, free from the power of Satan. If you and I will walk in that freedom, if you and I will understand that we are, in fact, Christ's blood in us. So, Rick Warren, the author of Purpose Driven Life, is that clock still wrong?
A little bit.
Oh, well. Between you and the boys and laughing about my singing, I don't know. I'm just teasing. This is interesting. Rick Warren, author of Purpose Driven Life, said, God is more interested in, this is so true and fitting, God is more interested in your character than your comfort. In your character than your comfort. God is more interested in making your life holy than in making your life happy. And I want to emphasize here that God knows everything that's happening. God knows where each one of you are. But what's frightening also is that God knows where your heart is. And God knows if you're truly one of His, or God knows if you've been playing a big game. I ask you this morning to apply that blood to the door of your heart if you have not done that. Then in closing, two quick analogies that I want to share with you. We're talking about DNA and we're talking about blood. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't seem real good. But I want to share with you that our blood carries antibodies. And the antibodies keep us from infection and keep us from being sick. And they fight off disease and fight off issues that would cause us to have fever and just really beat us down. When you and I ask Christ into our heart and life, His blood, the spiritual blood, comes into us and He gives us that engagement ring known as the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will dwell in you, and that Holy Spirit will keep you from getting infected. And that Holy Spirit warns Dennis when Dennis starts going down the wrong path. And that Holy Spirit tells Dennis, you shouldn't act like that. And that Holy Spirit is Dennis's spiritual antibody that keeps Dennis on track. And then there's another important parallel between our blood and our DNA and our spiritual blood and DNA with Jesus Christ. And that's that blood is made up of red and white blood cells. And that red blood cell carries oxygen. It's important. But the white blood cell is what we need. And the white blood cell carries the DNA. Isn't that interesting? And the white stands for the purity of Jesus Christ. And if you have a total blood transfusion, which is usually red blood cells, but if you have a total blood transfusion, guess what? There's no foreign DNA because your body will reproduce the white and keep your genes what you are. So spiritually speaking, you and I accept Jesus Christ. We get that royal blood. And we get that antibiotics, that Holy Spirit inside of us. And oh, He beats up on me all the time. And I hope He beats up on you. But I want to challenge you. If you're sitting there and you think you've got the real thing, and you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life, but you just live like you want to on Monday without any conviction. When Dennis gets convicted and Dennis called that person this week, said, I'm sorry if I was rude or curt with you. Whether the person knew or not, that's a sign to Dennis that the antibodies, the spiritual Holy Spirit is working in Dennis, and spiritually Dennis is healthy. Okay? But if you can't say that, then I'll question whether you have the real thing. And I don't want to shake your foundation. Once saved, always saved, if you're truly saved. But I believe that the reason the church is in the condition it is, and the church, the Christ is coming back, and Wednesday night, as Brother Caleb spoke, that Christ should be the centrality, Christ should be the center of everything we do. Let me ask you, sir or ma'am, is Christ the center of all you do? Let me ask you, sir or ma'am, are the antibodies, the Holy Spirit inside of you, so that the white blood cells can continue to produce the fruits of the Spirit? Goodness, gentleness, holiness, as we've already discussed earlier. So this means, if we've applied the blood, the price was His own blood. We find that in 1 Peter 1:18. This means we are free from the law, Galatians 5:1. We are free from slavery to sin, Romans 6. And we're free from the power of Satan in the world. So you and I need to be serious about our walk with Jesus Christ. You and I need to be serious about our DNA. And you and I need to know whose DNA we have. So the Lord has blessed us with His Holy Spirit. The Lord has blessed us with His Son. And in closing, let me ask you, have you applied His blood by asking Him into your heart and life? By faith, will you be saved or have you been saved? Have you been born again? Whose DNA do you have? He will then plant the Holy Spirit inside of you, the engagement ring, fighting the antibodies, giving you protection. And He will keep your blood royal. And one day He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In closing, don't forget we've covered a lot. We've been everywhere. Blood is the key. Blood is the key to you and I sitting here today. Blood is the key to where we go eternally. Scarlet thread from Genesis to Revelation. What have you done with the blood of Christ? Don't forget the first century, speaking of the blood, was to speak of death. But our Savior is not dead. That's what makes us different. He rose from the grave. But He had to shed His blood for Dennis and for Danny and for you. And I trust you can put your name there. Then in Genesis 12:17, the sacrifice shedding of the blood applied to the doorpost. Christ is your Passover. The blood of Christ has been shed and put in this vase. Sir or ma'am, only you can take that hyssop branch and apply it to the door of your heart. Only you can do that. What have you done with the blood of Jesus? And then we are 99.9% the same. 99.9% the same. The only difference is that we're saints or we ain't. You've either accepted Christ and mean business, you're getting about His business, or you have not. So in closing, let me share this with you. This is another confirmation from God. This truly happened. I'm a jogger. And I jog through North City. It depends on the time, my time. And sometimes I jog over the bridge of Lana Beach Bridge. It just depends. And so I'm just not in focus with anything. I talk to the Lord and ask His godly wisdom to sort things out. And, you know, that kind of, you know, joggers are kind of strange anyway. So I've been jogging. And when I jogged through North City for the last couple of months, I kept hearing this beautiful violin music. And I would stop and look. I don't see anything, and I love violin music. I didn't see anything, and I just would, every now and then I'd hear it, and it was just a blessing, and I would stop and look and keep going. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I came up, and I could hear some woman's voice, kind of stern, and it sounded like a little person upset. And I looked, and there on the porch was this little guy, red hair, freckle face, with the music standing in front of him, and he had a violin, and I knew he was in trouble. So I stopped, and I said, and he waved, and I said, I wish I was your age and could do that again. He said, listen, pay attention, follow the instructions. It's going to pay off. That's all I said. See you later, little guy. Well, I ran by again. I don't know, a couple of weeks have passed, and I ran by, and I heard this beautiful music, and I stopped and saw him on the porch. And when he finished, I ran up to the porch and went, oh, he beamed. Oh, he was so proud of himself. So this past week, I was running, and he was on the porch, and I thought and said, where's the violin? He said, it's over. The practice is over. I said, okay, see you later. So I didn't think anything of it. running back down San Marco, and I kept hearing, "Mister, sir, mister, hey, mister." And I thought, what's going on? I didn't look back. I kept running. Finally, he was beside me, and I stopped. I said, "It's you." He said, "Sir." He said, "One day in the morning on Monday or Wednesday, will you drop by? I want to pray for you." And I said, "You know what? In the Bible, God says He goes to and fro throughout this earth looking for those who will faithfully serve Him. Can you run behind and say, 'Mr. God, Abba, stop a minute. I want to live for you.'" Are you living for Christ? Are you serious about your DNA? Do you know whom you know whom you know that you have trusted? If you can't say you do, then this morning the altars are open. Some of us need to ask God to forgive us. Some of us need to ask God to deal with us. Whatever the reason, I don't know, and it's really none of my business, but God knows. So you and I need to practice reality 101. The altars are open for you to come and deal with God. There will be counselors down front with every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. May they not have heard one thing that I said, but may they know directly without any doubt what the Holy Spirit has determined needs to be done in their life. So I pray for every soul within the sound of my voice. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll move in such a mighty way that we'll be a changed people. That, Heavenly Father, we'll quit playing games. That, Heavenly Father, we'll run after you screaming, "Abba, Daddy, let me live for you." Because nothing else matters. Heavenly Father, I pray that we all have royal blood. Until you come, may you find us faithful, serving you, faithful in all that we do. Then, Heavenly Father, if there's one here who does not know, may they just pray the simple prayer. "Lord Jesus, forgive me, for I know I'm a sinner. And Lord Jesus, I don't know how, but by your power, come into my heart and life and save me this morning." And may that blood that we've been talking about from Leviticus through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, may that blood, the blood of the sacrifice, the blood of the perfect Lamb, Jesus Christ, be applied to my heart. Come in and save me today. So if you've prayed that prayer and you mean business, I pray that you'll come down to the altar and accept Jesus. We pray this in your Son, our Savior's precious holy name, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Savior. Amen.